I'd like for you to take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. And there's a few verses that I want to read this morning. Did y'all hear about what happened down in Hawaii yesterday? Golly. Somebody pushed the wrong button. And so they thought a nuclear missile was coming their way. But did y'all see the two people they interviewed from Mosul that was down there? I said, you know, and you could tell that they were believers. I mean, you know, there was a mother and her daughter, and they said, you know, whatever, this is how it's going to happen. This is how it's going to happen. We're just going to lay out here on the beach, and whatever happens, happens. So, I thought, man, that's a pretty good way to go, you know. It is good to see you. I want to continue talking about peace in every circumstance, and the way I want to do that is show you a desire from Paul to this group of believers here at Thessalonica. In chapter 1, Paul prayed for them. Chapter 2, Paul prayed for them. In chapter 3, there are two prayers that you find for these believers here at this church. These verses I'm going to read, you know, really is not a word-by-word prayer, but what it is his desire for them. And so that is his prayer. That's his wish for them. So what I want to do today is take Paul's example and just share with you my wish for you. As a pastor, this would be my desire for you. This would be my prayer for you. Listen to verse 16 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. In Luke's gospel, disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. I think this is a good example of what it is that we should be praying for. And I want to talk about the things that we should be praying for. One of the things that I pray for often is that people would know God. In the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 10, that was a prayer that Paul prayed over and over again. He always prayed that people would know God. And so to follow his example today, I want you to think about these verses that I've read to you. And I want to just pull out here his desire, his prayer, his wish for the people of Thessalonica. Because that is my wish and desire for you. There's an anchor of the soul. And what keeps me anchored is this. It is to know that God is in control. And that gives us steadfastness, it gives us peace, it gives us contentment in every circumstance to know that He is in control. Now, in order to live the way God wants us to live, then we've got to be all that we are, and He's got to be all that He is to us. Now we know God is a faithful God. We know God is a God who answers prayer. We know God is a God who is all powerful. So we know what He is. So what I want to do is just share with you four thoughts from these verses. And this is the desire. This is the wish. This is the prayer for all of us today. There are four things that we need to have peace in every circumstance. We can have peace in every circumstance, number one, because we need God's peace. And so if we have God's peace, then that is the thing that we need to have peace in every circumstance. As we talked about last week, in John 14:27, Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, but my peace I give to you. So the peace that the Lord gives us is a peace that is It's not based on circumstance. It's not based on, you know, what we can do. It's not based on the world's idea. It is His peace that He gives us. And so in this desire, in this prayer that Paul's talking about here, what he's praying for is this. His desire is that the people of God here at this place, here at this church, that they would know God's peace. My prayer for you is that you would know God's peace. God's peace is perfect. Do you realize that God never worries about anything? God never stresses out. God never loses control about any situation. Why? Because God is perfect. And since God is perfect, nothing takes Him by surprise. Circumstances don't give Him a setback. They don't. Because God is perfect in all He does. And so the Lord of peace, since He is the source of peace, since He is the Lord of peace, then the peace that He gives us is a perfect peace. His peace is a gift. In Psalm 85 and verse 8, the scripture says, God will speak peace to His people. And so peace is a gift from God. He says, this is the peace that I give you. It is my peace. It is a peace different than anything else that you know. God's peace is available. He is near. He is here. His peace is available to us anytime, so we understand that. Last week we talked about also how that peace could be interrupted. And some of the things I said about that was this. The greatest thing that can interrupt peace in our life is not to trust God. And so when we fail to trust God, put faith in Him, then as I said, we're not being all that we need to be. When we are all that we need to be, and then He is all that He is to us, then that is the result of peace. So what we need to learn is to trust Him and to put faith in Him, to obey Him, and that's how we live the way He wants us to live. But you know, when we don't trust and we let the circumstances override us and we let stress and everything control us, then you know, we're really not living like He wants us to live. And so that's how that peace can be interrupted. But the Bible also tells us that God's peace can be restored. There's several scriptures that I looked at on this and how we restore God's peace when it's interrupted. Psalm 42:11, the Bible tells us there to trust in God. That's how the peace is restored. In Romans 2:10, if you want peace, the Bible says to do good, pray, and God will bring you the peace that you need. In Colossians 3:15, to restore the peace, the Bible tells us there to let the peace of God that He gives us, the peace of Christ, to rule our hearts. And so those are the ways that we restore the peace when it's interrupted in our life. Now, peace can be interrupted, but we know this, it is God's peace that He gives us. So what Paul says here in verse 16, he said, now may the Lord, again, the idea of may is transition here. In light of all the instruction that he's been giving these folks here, he says this. In this transition, he says, now here's what I want. I want you to be enabled with the peace of God in your life. I've given you instruction in chapter 1. I've given you instruction in chapter 2. I've given you instruction in chapter 3 on how we can live the very best that we can live. But here's what I want. My prayer for you, my wish for you, my desire for you is that you would be enabled by the peace of God. Now there's a second thing that we need, and Paul talks about it here. We need God's strength. If we experience peace in every circumstance, then we need God's strength. He says here, the Lord be with you all. Now what's he saying there? What he's talking about there is the presence, the strength, the power of God in your life and my life. I want the strength of God to enable you. I want the strength of God to give you that power you need. I want the strength of God to enable you to face whatever it is that you face in life. You know what God's strength does? God's strength makes the impossible possible. Amen. God's strength helps us when we think that we cannot go on. God's strength gets us through the valleys of life. God's strength gets us through those days that we think that we cannot make it. So what does God's strength do for us? Well, it enables us to resist temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13, with every temptation that comes our way, then the Bible says God is able to make a way of escape. So it's through His strength that we need that. We need His strength for the temptations of life. We need His strength to fight Satan. Do you realize that Satan has a plan for your life? Satan has a scheme for your life. The Bible says that what we need to do as Christians is to be aware of the schemes of Satan. As a believer, we are in a spiritual battle. The Bible says this battle that we face is against, you know, Satan. It's against darkness. It's against, you know, his demons and all like that. So it is a spiritual battle. And in order for us, you know, to face that, then we need God's strength. And so what Paul says here is, he's saying, you know, I'm praying that in every way that the Lord will be with you, that His presence will be with you. We need God's strength to enable us to effectively serve Him. I was reading in Mark, and I came to Mark 16, and I ran across this verse that I really liked, and here's what Mark 16:20 says. It says, "And the Lord went out, or they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them." I like that, because what that says is this, that whatever it is that we do for the Lord, and using our gift for Him in ministry and trying to spread His word and doing what we do, then the Bible tells us that the Lord enables us to do what we do for Him. When I think that I need to talk to a person about, you know, the Lord, and in my flesh I think, well, I can't do that, then where does the strength come from? It comes from the Lord who enables us. Just like Mark says, as they went everywhere, you know, talking about the Lord and preaching and teaching, the Lord was with them. And so it is God's strength that enables us to do the things that we need to do with Him. We need God's strength to endure the trials that come our way. You know, when you read about Job in the Old Testament, or you read James in the New Testament, I mean, those two books talk a lot about trials. Talks a lot about, you know, the difficulties and things that happen. And so how can we make it through the trials of life? How is it that we can get through those things when we are enabled by the strength of God? And so what Paul says here is this: I'm praying for you, and my prayer for you as a pastor is that you would know God's peace. Secondly, that you would know the strength of the Lord. Now, how are we enabled with His strength? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the person, the Holy Spirit, that's in our lives. That's the idea here in the Scripture. That's what Paul's talking about when he says, "The Lord be with you all." How is the Lord with us? Through the person and power of the Holy Spirit. So we need God's strength. There's a third thing that Paul prays for here, and he says this: in order to have peace in every circumstance, not only do we need God's peace, not only do we need the Lord's strength, but the third thing that he talks about, it's here, but I'm going to explain it to you. But he says this: we need God's truth. Now look at it here, and I'll point this out to you in verse 17. "The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign in every epistle, so I write." You know what was going on here? There was a group of people at Thessalonica who didn't believe that this letter was from Paul. There were people who were saying that Paul had not been truthful with them. There were other people who wrote letters that disturbed this group of people about the day of the Lord, about the rapture of the church, about what happened to their loved ones when they died. So there was a lot of false information there. These books that we have in the New Testament, particularly with the letters of Paul that he wrote, these were letters written to people. Paul is saying this. This is a salutation. This is the way that he closed his letter. He said, "This is a salutation of Paul. With my own hand, which is a sign in every letter, every epistle I wrote." So how do we authorize a document today? It's the same way. It's with a written signature. And so Paul says, "I'm going to give you the truth. And the way that you know this is the truth is that I have signed this with my signature." So the third thing that we need to have peace in every circumstance is the truth of God. The Bible is God's truth to us. Listen to this definition of truth. What is truth? I found this definition, I really like it. Here's what it says. Truth is that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. I like that. Now what we're talking about here is spiritual truth. Truth that is consistent with God. The character of God. The will of God. The glory of God. That is spiritual truth. And so in order to have peace in every circumstance, what we've got to have is the truth of God. There's a lot of questions today about truth. There are some people who do not believe that there is absolute truth. There are those who say you really can't know what is true. Well, Jesus made it very clear in John 14:6 when he said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Also in John 17, the Bible says, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth, O Lord." And so this is the truth of God's word. I went through the Bible and I started writing down some references in the Old Testament. I wrote down references in Deuteronomy and Psalm and Isaiah. And you know what it says there? It refers to God as the God of truth. I came to the New Testament. I started writing down scriptures in the New Testament. And these scriptures would be Jesus' own statement about truth. Jesus said, "I am truth." Jesus said, "The Father's word is truth." Peter talked about how the word of God is truth. In order to have peace in every circumstance, we need God's truth. God's truth is found right here in the Bible. Now, prayer can do anything God can do. Prayer is available to us, and when we pray, God answers prayer within His will for our lives. And so whatever the boundary is of God's will for our life, then we pray. And so the truth of the Bible is this, that God answers prayer. The truth of the Bible is God is faithful. The truth of the Bible is God knows exactly who we are. See, God's truth says to us this, that He meets us where we are. We may not be all that we want to be. We might not be who we want to be at all times in our walk with Him. But the Bible says this. God's truth says that He meets us just exactly where we are. And He takes us to where He wants us to be. In our growth, in our maturity, in our stability. So the spiritual stability that we need is found in the truth of God's Word. There's a fourth thing that we need to have peace in every circumstance, and that is this. Verse 18, we need God's grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, what is God's grace? One idea of God's grace that I like is this: God's goodness given to those who do not deserve it. Now you think about that definition of grace. God's goodness given to those who do not deserve it. When I think about God's grace, I think about how God deals with us on the basis of our need. That's God's goodness. That's God's grace. Whatever our need is, you know, that's how He deals with us, with our need. God's grace deals with us on the basis of His goodness. Now think about this. How do we see God's goodness? We see God's goodness in His mercy. A lot of times, you know, we connect God's mercy to the gift of salvation that we have, being saved, knowing Him. But also when we think about the grace of God and His goodness, seen in His mercy, think about suffering. Think about your pain. Think about those times in your life when you cry out for God's mercy. Do you remember the story of blind Bartimaeus in the Bible? Here's a man who's blind. Jesus coming through the town. You know what Bartimaeus did? He said, "Lord, I need your mercy." We see God's grace in His mercy. We see His goodness in His mercy. We see God's goodness in His grace. None of us deserve God's grace. None of us deserve, in our own effort and merit, God's goodness. But yet, He is a gracious God. And then we see God's grace and His love. His love for us is just so amazing. And His love for us is just, you know, it is that great love that we experience from Him. No sin that we could ever commit is beyond the grace of God for our lives. There's nothing in my life that the grace of God cannot touch. There's nothing in my life that the love of God cannot touch. And that is His goodness. And that is His grace. You see, when you talk about the goodness and grace of God, I really want you to understand this. God's goodness is seen at the cross. When He took your place and He took my place, that is God's grace. You know, there is saving grace, and that's what we're talking about here, the grace that saves us. God's goodness is seen in His saving grace. But also, God's grace is seen in just His common grace every day. As the Bible says, you know, it rains on the just, it rains on the unjust. The sun comes up on the wicked and on the righteous. And so that is God's common grace. So what do we need to have peace in every circumstance? Well, the Bible tells us here in these verses that we need God's peace, we need His strength, we need His truth, and we need His grace. Now let me close with this. I love you all, and I've been here a long time, y'all. And I just want you to know, this is my desire for you. And I'm following the example of the Apostle Paul right here, to pray that you would know God's peace, that you would know His strength, that you would know His truth, and that you would know His grace. That's the prayer here. However, how each person responds to the truth and the grace of God carries with it eternal consequences. God's grace is available. God's love is available. God's truth is available. God's strength is available. God's peace is available. But how we respond to that makes all the difference in the world. Jesus came to offer us His peace. He said, "My peace I give to you." But in order to have that kind of peace, you've got to receive it. And it is a gift that God gives us through the Son, through His Son, Jesus Christ. So, where does all this start? It starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And once you begin that journey with Him, then you know what you're going to have? You're going to have His peace. You're going to have His strength. You're going to have His truth. And you're going to know His grace. And so that's my prayer for you. Let's stand together, please. Father, we just thank you today for your word. We thank you for the gift of your peace. Lord, there are some things that we need. We're desperate. We're just a needy people. Lord, we need your peace. We need your strength. We need your truth. We need your grace. Lord, today, this is my prayer for every person here today. I pray that you would enable them with your peace, with your strength. I pray that you would enable them with your grace. Lord, today, we just thank you that you love us. Many times we talk about praying for each other, and we talk about, we promise people that we will remember them in our prayers. And Lord, this is just a great example of how we need to pray for each other. We need to follow Paul's example here in praying for each other, that we would know your peace, your strength, and your grace. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity we have to be here today. And I pray today that we would leave here knowing you, and we would leave here knowing you in a better way. And Father, as I said earlier, to live the way that you want us to live, then we need to be all that we can be to all that you are to us. In your name we pray. Amen.